We concluded our baptism series early just because we need to address the crisis that is facing us as a nation, as a world. It is a community of people come together facing the same problems and issues. Now, if you're still interested in being baptized, if you still have that conviction, that desire, please call the church office this week and we will make the arrangements for you. But today we want to focus on what we're doing, on our hope, on our desire to bring comfort and peace into the lives of others. We may be in separate locations this morning, but we are united in Jesus Christ. The auditorium is nearly empty, just with volunteers who are helping with this broadcast. And yet we are one in Jesus. It's been a very stressful week, I know. I was trying to think of the last time I was this stressed, and I think it was when I was taking classes in high school and college, and we had to read Shakespeare. Bill Shakespeare and I never got along. I just could not understand his Elizabethan English. And decades later, my daughter was taking the same classes and reading Shakespeare, and she showed me a booklet. It was called No Fear Shakespeare, and it had the writings of Shakespeare as well as a modern English translation. It was wonderful. My only regret was that it didn't come out earlier, so it would save my grade point average. But it was helpful. It was good, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a book that we could turn to as we face this pandemic and have it explain to all of us what we're going through and why we're going through it? And yes, we do have the Bible. And people will look at it and say, well, it doesn't say anything about a pandemic. But the Bible addresses all our difficulties and hardships and trials. The Bible spends time giving us comfort and peace during these difficult seasons of life. And that's what we have here. And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, when 9/11 occurred, many of you can remember, there was anger and frustrations, but we were able to focus it on an identifiable enemy. And this is a virus we are facing. There's no face. There's no home country. No army. So what do we do with all these frustrations, all the fear and the paranoia and the doubt? The fact is, God does speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word about these hardships. Last fall, we studied the 23rd Psalm together at the end of our Psalm series. And I was drawn back to that Psalm and specifically the fourth verse of that Psalm, which reads, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," and some translations have the valley of the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is the verse that speaks to our fears, that speaks to our frustrations. We have walked this valley before, and we are walking through a new valley right now. And we're doing it together. We need to remind ourselves of several spiritual facts. First, valleys are unavoidable. You can expect them. They're going to come into your life. Just write it down. I'm going to have valleys. I'm going to have difficulties. That's what happens to every one of us. They can occur in every walk of life. I mean, we know this. Jesus told us this. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus reminds us it's going to happen. It happened to Him. It's going to happen to us. It rains on the holy and unholy alike. It is a difficult time that we are facing right now. And we're troubled by this unavoidable threat of the coronavirus. The unprecedented shutdown of major public events, including entertainment and sports. Most of us have never experienced this kind of uncertainty and danger before. I mean, I've been talking to some people and they draw back to World War II, the rations, the limits that were put on. Others remember the Cuban Missile Crisis that occurred in the United States and all of these things. But most of us have never had anything like this happen. And some are very panicky. They're hoarding enough toilet paper and hand sanitizer to last for the next 5 years. Others spend hours watching and fretting over the COVID-19 statistics and projections for each state and for the United States and for the whole world, and they worry and they're filled with anxiety. Many others just wring their hands as they go to the internet and they see these false rumors and questionable advice, and it's forwarded to them on social media. And there's no direct source of origin, no authoritative reference, and yet they believe everything they read. And it's sad. And it's filling our people with anxiety and worry. Valleys are unavoidable, but we're also told valleys are unpredictable. You don't know when they're going to occur. If we did, we would prepare. We would have time to see, okay, we can do this and this and this, but they come out of nowhere. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you could predict when you're going to have a flat tire? Wouldn't it be great if you could schedule it? Okay, unexpected flat tire. I don't have anywhere to go today. I don't have anything on my agenda. This would be a good day to have a flat tire. It's out in my driveway. I'll just walk out. I have the whole day to change it. It doesn't work that way, does it? No. We usually have them on I-65 during rush hour. That's when it hits, because they are so unpredictable. There's no way we could have seen this coming so soon, so quick. It's just one of the valleys that we couldn't predict everything that would go on, all the shutdowns that took place. And if you're a type A person like myself, a lack of a plan, a lack of a schedule, it's driving you a little crazy. Because everything is unpredictable now. All of life is dramatically unsettled today. And all of a sudden we're reminded we're not in control. Our money isn't dependable. You look at what the stock market has done. Our government isn't capable of protecting us from everything, such as this illness. Severe sickness, even death, is a possibility. We feel vulnerable. We feel insecure. We don't know what to do or who to talk to. But we take comfort in the fact that God knew this was coming. God was way ahead of the game. Disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. It's going to happen, but God is in control and God is on the throne. And this didn't catch him by surprise. And he lets us know there's good news despite this. There is very good news. Valleys are temporary. They don't last. You know that from your own life. They're here for a season. And then they vanish. It's unavoidable. You can't predict their coming. But you know you will walk through this valley. because it is a circumstance. It is a situation that lasts for a short time. Just like this crisis that we're in right now. Christians have a historical resilience because we believe in one another and we believe in God. Peter reminded us this. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. We're going to go through the valley and there's joy that awaits us. Now obviously there is a joy in heaven, but there is joy here on earth as well. And as we come through the valley, we're going to have that joy again. Joy in this life and joy in the life to come. And even if you have a lifelong ailment or trial that is so insignificant compared to the thousands and millions of years you will spend in eternity. Peter goes on to say, these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, it's a real faith, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's the only one who can bring good out of a bad situation. He's the one who can share with us the hope that we need. We are in the midst of trial, and yet all the praise and glory of all the good will come to him. We love mountaintops. But let's be honest, we usually don't grow our faith on the mountaintops. Our faith is growing in the valley. When everything is going fine, we're usually a little lax. We don't pray as much. We don't feel the urgent need to read the Bible. We skip out on church attendance. But when the valley comes, when there is crisis and when there is difficulty, that's when we run back to God. Faith is strengthened in the valleys. Faith grows in the middle of crisis. We rely on him more. We trust him more. We mature more when we're in the valley. Give thanks that he is with you during this time. Give thanks that God's presence is in your home. God's presence is with your family. God's presence is in your heart. So what do we do in the meantime? How are we going to handle this? How do we react in a world of fear? Two words. No fear. No fear. We will not be afraid. King David wrote in the 23rd Psalm that I will fear no evil. Now we're going to take precautions. We're going to use common sense as we always have. I mean, think about it. We trust God, but we lock our doors at night. We trust God, but when we pull up to the grocery store, we take our keys with us. We trust God when we go to the doctor, when we're sick, and we take the meds that he or she prescribes. And we still trust God when we're warned by the government, by the World Health Organization, by the CDC, to take common sense precautions. So we do so. But we are not to fear this unrealistic fear, this fear that comes from the world. I watched a Disney movie long ago about a little boy who loved his dad, loved him so much, he just wanted to please him. And his dad loved football, so the boy joined a junior football league. Now, he was small and slow and hated the sport, but he joined anyway to make his dad proud. Coach finally put him in for one game, actually one play. and the little boy was pounded into the dirt. So he struggles to get up, and he's limping off, and he's hurting, and he looks up, and there's his dad smiling, and the dad shouts, "It's okay, son. Pain is just fear leaving your body." Does any kid believe that? Seriously, it's another dadism. We say them all the time. They're silly. They don't mean anything. But when we read the Word of God and He says, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. We can trust Him. He's speaking to our hearts. He's speaking to our lives. We can only go through this valley with Him. And that's what we do. We rest on Him. We rely on Him. We hold on to Him. I will fear no evil. That's what King David said. And the word will implies choice. That it's an act of decision. That I will not be afraid. I do not choose to fear. I choose to trust. Put any two people in the middle of the same crisis. One will just fall in despair. The other may grow stronger. Because they know that God is with them and their faith is genuine. One may fall into distress simply because they focus on the trial. They focus on the crisis. The other may grow in joy because they focus on Christ. Where is your focus? Remember this. Faith is greater than fear. Faith is greater than fear. If your faith is real, if it's strong, if it's growing, it will be greater than any fear this world throws at you. It requires time in prayer. It requires time reading God's word. It requires time that you need to set aside. And if you're working at home or you're home with the kids, you need to find that little time where you spend time with the kids. And our children's ministry has reached out and made the lesson plans and put them online through our website. Encourage them to watch them, to look at them, to grow, to lean on Him. Focus on Christ, not your circumstances. Focus on the Savior, not your situation. Focus on His power and not your problem. Then God will strengthen you with His own great power. And you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. You won't have to think about hoarding. You won't have to think about all the bad things that are happening. You're going to be patient in the Lord. He's going to take care of you. So during this crisis that we're facing, first, we fear no evil. We will not be afraid. Tell yourself, tell your family, tell your kids, show them. We will not be afraid. God's going to get us through this. And secondly, remember that you are not alone. Remember that God is always with you. That God is going to bless you. That God is not going to leave your side. God promises us strength in the valley. But He also promises us His presence. That we will never walk alone. That we will never be by ourselves, whatever the crisis is. We will never face a dark day alone. Jesus said, "I am with you." As Adam said earlier, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world. And I want you to read the 23rd Psalm sometime this week. Preferably sometime today. And I want you to notice that between verse 3 and verse 4, there is a change that takes place. Verse 3, verses 1 through 3, speak of God in third person. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But in verse 4, as we speak of this valley, David stops talking about God and he starts talking to God. It becomes more intimate. It becomes a face-to-face encounter. Your rod and your staff comfort me. It's the valleys that bring us face to face with God. All of a sudden, everything becomes closer. God grows near. And during this time of uncertainty, talking about God is right and good, but we must not ignore talking to God through our prayers. I've talked to many believers through the years, and many of them have testified. They have shared that they never felt closer to God except during times of crisis. That's when they felt this intimacy. That's when they felt this encounter. That's when they felt like they could lean on God more. And one believer even said, I felt like his arm was around me. I could almost feel it. We need to grow closer to God. He's always with us. But we also need to grow closer to our church family during this time. There are a lot of people out there who are lonely and who are filled with anxiety. And we need to be the ones to step up. I mean, we practice social distancing, but we should never, ever get involved in emotional distancing, in spiritual distancing. We've got to take care of one another. We got to check on one another and love on one another. This past week, individuals from SAC attempted to call every member of our church family that is considered vulnerable by CDC standards with regards to age and health. And they called and they just asked, is everything all right? How are you holding up? What can we do for you? We want you to call us if you need anything. We called Franklin Elementary School. That's our adopted school. Just to ask, are there any families connected to that school who are in need right now? We want to be there. Our mission team just arrived back yesterday from Mexico, where they were ministering and serving in the name of God and also as ambassadors of Franklin Christian Church. Because we want to reach out. We want people to know we're here for you. We set aside $10,000 for tornado relief. We've given Grace Works this week $5,000 because they're being overwhelmed with needs that people have. We support a Christian mission called IDES that offers disaster relief, and they are working right now in Cookeville helping remove debris and helping others, and we are able to go with them and help. And if you would like to do that next week, if you feel comfortable where you could go and serve and minister to others who are still hurting from those tornadoes, you can contact us through the website or call the church office. We'll give you the details that you need to go there and be a part of that relief organization. I was asked about our building program, and we must still move forward, but there is time for that. Right now, we're totally focused on our people, totally focused on our church family, totally focused on our community. We want to reach out and help. We want to be the church that God expects us to be, to look out for our neighbors, to see what we can do for others. So as Brandon mentioned, thank you for your continued generosity that allows us to serve our community with resources and Christ's love. We all must continue to do that. Theologian A.W. Tozer once wrote, "A frightened world needs a fearless church." That's who we need to be. This is the church that God expects us to be. To be fearless in this time of crisis. To say we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in the future. We have hope in our Lord. Our children and our neighbors do not need to see us panic or hoard. They need to see a peace that passes understanding. The peace that Jesus gave us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. He gives it to us. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do you remember when you were small? And your bedroom could be a very scary place sometimes. Now, during the day, everything's great. You run into your room, you open up the closet door, you dive in there, you crawl under the bed looking for toys that you misplaced. But at night, what was once warm and welcome is now a little scary, a little frightening. And you look around and you see the shadows and you wonder if you saw a shadow move. And then you hear a doorknob and you think it's your closet door. Or you hear the floor creak and you begin to imagine that someone has walked in. And you never sleep with any body part hanging over the edge of the bed. Because you know what will happen. Whatever's underneath there is going to come up and grab you and pull you under. And you reach over and you turn on a light and suddenly all the shadows disappear. And you look around and you realize your imagination has run wild. This happens to us in times of crisis, when we walk through a valley, our imaginations run wild. We begin to think that, well, what if this is happening? And what if this is real? And what are we going to do when this occurs? They're shadows. Remember two things about shadows. Number one, shadows cannot hurt you. They have no power over you. They have no substance. They're not real. Would you rather get hit by a truck or the shadow of a truck? Shadows can hurt you. There is nothing there. They can scare you, but they can't hurt you. And secondly, shadows can't exist without light. Once the light comes on, the shadows disappear. There has to be some source of light for a shadow to be seen. Don't focus on the shadow. Don't focus on the crisis. Focus on the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. You focus on Him during this trial. And you don't have to be afraid. Don't focus on the trial. You're going to be depressed and discouraged. Don't focus on yourself. You will become distressed. Focus on Christ. And you will be comforted. I pray that this week you'll spend some time in the Word of God reading it. I pray this week you'll also spend time praying and resting on Him. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this time of worship we've had. All different locations and homes throughout this region, but Father, We are united in one. United by your love. United by your comfort. United by your power. May we rest on you. Totally and fearlessly. Touch every heart that is watching this broadcast, Father. Let them feel your presence. Let them know you care. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.